Welcome to the Trader's Handbook, a limited podcast series brought to you by IG in partnership with your host, The Finance Ghost. Over the course of our upcoming episodes, we are delving deep into the world of trading, helping both novice and seasoned traders alike navigate this exciting field. Join us as we unravel the intricate strategies and insights that define this dynamic landscape and the beautiful puzzle that is the markets. IG Markets South Africa is an authorized financial services and over-the-counter derivatives product provider. CFD losses can exceed your deposits. Welcome to episode 7 of the Trader's Handbook, my collaboration with IG Markets South Africa, and it's really good to have you here with us. In episode 6, we gave you a pretty good taste of some of the technical trading indicators that are used by traders. Particular focus in that show on moving averages and MACD, which has nothing to do with McDonald's and everything to do with trying to help you do better in the markets. And Sean, I think it was really fun to just start chatting through some trading indicators, and we're going to do some of that today as well. But we are also going to start out with a discussion on risk management, and that's because these technical indicators, as great as they are, it's quite an information download and it's quite a lot to absorb when you're listening to a podcast. And that's why we include the charts in the show notes as well. So if you want to engage with the technical trading content, you know, as best you can, then I think make sure you've got the show notes open in front of you so you can actually look at the charts that are being referenced as Sean walks us through that. But certainly for the risk management stuff, etc., you luckily don't need any charts in front of you. You can sit back with whatever drink is in your hand. And Sean, you've got a coffee in your hand from what I saw there. So thank you for joining us, and I look forward to doing this one with you.
Great. It's good to be back.
So risk management, that is pretty much key to the process, isn't it? I mean, we know from the statistics that retail traders, generally speaking, have quite a tough time with risk management, and only a relatively modest percentage of traders are really successful. And a lot of that must surely come down to risk management. So I think let's start with just the absolute basics. You know, people hear market commentators, they read it in the media, etc. They hear about market volatility, and that is ultimately the focus of risk management. So I'll hand over to you to just walk us through what volatility actually is at the end of the day, and then we can dive into more risk management topics.
Yeah, so I think just starting off, I think risk management is key in trading. You know, I think everyone's always concerned about when to buy and when to sell, the timing of the market. But if you commit too much money to the wrong trade, you know, you're going to get yourself into trouble. So you need to understand volatility. You need to manage that risk. You know, you can have a strategy where you write 9 out of every 10 times, but you could still be loss-making because if you commit too much money to that one time that you're wrong, you're going to give away all your profits. So just a thought there. When we talk about volatility, essentially we're talking about the range of price movements. So whether historical or implied in the future. So if we talk about a share price, a commodity price, FX price, whatever you're trading, you know, small price movement suggests, is low volatility. A large range of price movements, you know, between the high and the low is considered high volatility. So when you're looking at shares, for example, you're looking at a share and the share moves 3% in a day between the high and the low. It's obviously more volatile than a share that moves on average about 1% over the course of the day. So higher volatility gives you a higher degree of risk, but also a higher opportunity for reward. It just still needs to be managed. And so, you know, in a high volatile market environment, you might consider having smaller positions in the market. In a low volatile environment, you might consider having slightly bigger positions to try and magnify that reward.
This is the old story, right, about how things don't go up in a straight line. I mean, that's exactly what volatility is. You look at a chart and you see all the little squiggles. Yes, there might be a broader trend up or down or even sideways. Sideways is also a trend. But it's not a straight line, you know, unless it's an incredibly illiquid stock that never trades, and you get those, but they're not of any help to traders whatsoever. So if you're looking at a stock that actually has activity in it, you're going to see lots of up and down moves, and that ultimately is volatility. And of course, volatility is not just about these black swan events that make it into the headlines, right? You know, it's not just the big moves, the minus 20 or 30% in a day because something crazy came out. I mean, recently we saw Barloworld close 12.5% lower on Friday the 13th. We can't make this stuff up. And that was because they just went and released an announcement about some disclosure they've had to make around potential export control violations to Russia. So that's stuff that's really, really difficult to manage, you know, is these black swan events. And we'll get to that shortly. But volatility is more than that. Volatility is actually just all the small moves as well, as you pointed out, It's the extent of the moves, both up and down. It's basically how a share price moves over time within a trend. So just back to those sort of black swan events, and I'm not sure that Barloworld's announcement is quite a black swan. I think 12.5% down is a big owie, as my little guy would say, but it's not quite a black swan. As you pointed out before, though, IG does have a guaranteed stop loss for those sort of scenarios. So we've talked about stop losses before, which are a way to manage your downside risk, basically, you know, stem the bleeding at a point in time on the chart. But if a stock really gaps down, and that means that basically bids just disappear in the market and the only bid is a long way down and someone is willing to sell down there and the stock gaps lower, you know, that can go right past your stop loss, as I understand it, unless you have taken out this guaranteed stop loss product. So I just want to confirm with you that that understanding is correct. And then just practically on the platform when you're executing a trade, you know, how do you do this guaranteed stop loss? Is it available on every stock or every index or every asset on the platform? How does it actually work?
Okay, so I mean, just going back to stop loss, you know, for the new listeners, stop loss obviously is just an order to exit the market if it moves unfavorably against you. Now, with a normal stop loss, like you correctly said, sometimes, you know, we'll wake up and the market might just open lower and open past our stop loss. So there's, you know, if you had bought and you're looking to sell to somebody, there's no one to sell to. But your order in the system would be to get me out if it gets to this price or below. So what can happen in that situation is you actually end up losing slightly more than what you expect. And we refer to that as slippage. Now, slippage can work in your favor when you're placing orders as well. But in that scenario, you'd lose slightly more than what you expected. So a guaranteed stop loss is a function that IG does offer to say that, well, if it does get to this price, even if it gaps low, we will honor that price and we'll get you out of that price. So very, very simply, but so you can just add that to your trade. So when you're placing a trade on the IG mobile app or on the platform, you just choose what type of stop you like. Now, if you use a guaranteed stop, there is a slight premium associated with that. Obviously, because now we're taking on that risk for you to try stop you from getting that slippage. But really, really cool feature. It means that basically you can sort of rest assured is that this is how much, in a worst case scenario, if the trade's going to go against me, how much I'm going to lose. And there'll be no surprises on that front.
And in terms of the availability of that guaranteed stop loss, is it available on everything?
Yes, yeah, it's available across all the different asset classes.
Okay, and that's on the platform when you're putting your normal stop loss in, you have that option.
On the platform, yes, you could, yeah. When you're placing the trade, you have an option of stop, and there's three types of stops. There's a normal stop loss, which we've discussed. And those stops, I just want to say, like, you're not always going to get slippage. I think if the market's illiquid or if you're trading shares, you're more likely to get slippage because of gap risk. You know, the markets close and open, but some of the continuous markets like Forex, indices, and that, you're less likely to get slippage because they are trading pretty much 24 hours with IG.
Yeah, and part of what we've discussed in stop losses previously, and I would encourage our listeners to work back through the content, was looking at stuff like the typical range that a stock will trade in or an asset or an index or Forex or whatever the case may be, and using that to inform your stop loss decision. You know, because it doesn't help to put your stop loss at a point where there might be your typical daily volatility, and then you've basically just locked in a day's loss for no real reason, you know, no real benefit. It's there for risk management, not making sure you lost money on a slightly bad day.
Can I just add in there a very, very cool technical analysis indicator, very, very easy to use. It's called average true range. You add that indicator to your chart, it's going to give you that information. It's going to show you, on average, how much that particular share or that index or that FX price moves over the course of a day, an hour. And all you have to do is just add that indicator to your chart. You look at the value, and then you can already have an expectation of what is a probable move, because we can't always tell the future. We don't know when you're going to have those black swans or an outsized moves in the market. But you look for what's probable. And that indicator, average true range, abbreviated to ATR, it's something I'd encourage anyone new to, you know, technical analysis and charting, just add to a chart and just take a look at it, because it will give you an expectation of how much that market moves on a normal day if you apply it to a daily chart, over an hour if you apply it to an hourly chart, 5 minutes if you're looking at a 5-minute chart.
Yeah, and there was actually a great piece on that in Grossmail this past week. So what I'll do is I'll include that link in the show notes, and I do recommend listeners go check it out. That IG Markets Academy is just a wealth of knowledge. And obviously there you get to look at, you know, Sean's very professional photo at the top of the article. But once you make your way past that, you'll also find some really useful charts. And it's a great read that I highly recommend. So I think let's talk about leverage, Sean, because that is really the reason why volatility is so important to traders, even more than investors. And what I mean by that is, for me, for example, coming from an investor background, you know, if I'm just sitting long a stock or an ETF or whatever it is I'm invested in, if it has a really bad day and it's down 10%, I'm not forced to sell. I'm not sitting there with a leveraged position. I can just hang on to it, you know. I might want to sell if I think it's going to go much lower, or I can ride it out and say, geez, this actually looks like it was overcooked. You know, in fact, if I have a relatively modest position and I think it was a silly move, then I can jump in and take it, which happened earlier this year. I think it was Cashbuild kind of dished out this absolute gift. There must have been a big seller in the market, and there was no reason why the share price behaved the way it did. I said, thank you very much, and jumped in, and it worked beautifully. But it is less risky when there's no leverage. Now, with trading CFDs, there is leverage, and obviously that adds to the risk. It also adds to the potential return. Golden rule of finance, you can't get the bigger return without taking a little bit more risk. And so I think we would be wrong in any kind of risk management show not to at least do a quick recap on leverage. It's something we have talked about before, so let's not spend a lot of time on it. But I think just a quick recap on how the leverage works in CFDs, and then, you know, why is that so important in the context of volatility?
Okay, so leverage, I think, leverage essentially magnifies moves in the market because you're putting a deposit down for your trade. So if you wanted 100,000 rands worth of shares, you might be asked to put a 10,000 rand deposit. So your profits or losses are magnified by 10 times. And so it does actually enhance that volatility. And the reason you use that magnification, essentially, of the leverage, is to help you get in and out of the market quickly. Because you are, you know, trading is seen as short term. And so you're magnifying. So, you know, a 1% move essentially works out to a 10% move if you're looking at 10 times leverage or 10 times gearing. So you don't have to be in the market as long. Because there's also, you know, you could also use it like an analogy. You know, if you put a 10% deposit down on a property, you know, let's say a million rand property, putting down 100,000 rand, but you know, the capital gains comes from that million rand property, not from the deposit. And that's essentially how you could look at short-term trading, you know, leverage. Because essentially when you're buying a house, you are leveraging yourself.
Likewise, if that property goes down 10%, you actually effectively lost your whole deposit. You know, that's exactly the point. Because the layer of equity in this thing is quite thin. It's like what happens in a private equity investment. You typically have a lot of debt, a relatively modest layer of equity. So if it does well, you shoot the lights out in terms of return on what money you actually put in. But if it does badly, you know, it can effectively wipe out the layer of equity. And this leads me directly into my next question, which is to say, you know, that deposit that you put down effectively, let's say you put down 1,000 rand on a 10,000 rand position, just for easy numbers. If it drops 10%, the asset that you invested in, then you've effectively lost your entire 1,000 rand. I understand that. What happens if it drops 15% and you weren't sitting with any kind of stop loss? Like, is there an automatic system on the platform that basically gets you out of the trade before you lose more than your deposit? Or can you actually lose more on that one specific trade than your original deposit, and then you dip into the rest of your balance sitting with IG?
Okay, so that's a very good question, because you always see the headlines, you know, when you talk about derivative trading, CFD trading, you can lose more than your deposit. So, but the answer to that is both yes and no. Right. So if you're trading with IG, and, you know, different brokers might have different models on that, but you are always in your account required to have the deposit or your margin for the trade you have open and any loss that you may be incurring. So if you don't have enough money to cover the deposit in your trade, and because you're incurring a loss, and you don't have sufficient funds in your account, then we do have an automated system which can close you out of that trade, which should stop you from losing more money in the negative situation, more than your initial deposit. However, we talked about things like gap risk and sometimes market dislocations, sudden movements, you know, dollar will 12% lower, things like that, in which situation you'd still get closed out of the trade, but you would lose more than your initial deposit. The good news is there's a way of ensuring that you don't lose more than your initial deposit. And that's by using what we referred to earlier on as a guaranteed stop loss, because there you are guaranteed to get out where your stop loss level is. So you will not lose more than your initial deposit for that trade. So that's why I said the answer is yes and no. If you are using things like guaranteed stop loss, then no, you cannot lose more than your initial deposit on a trade.
Thanks, Sean. That's super helpful. And I think let's move on now to another angle to risk that isn't as commonly considered or talked about, which is an order not filling to the level that you actually wanted it to. Now, I would imagine in something like a pairs trade, which we discussed a couple of shows ago, you know, go back and check that out if you missed it, that can be quite an issue because you suddenly sit with a very different mix of exposure to what you expected. You know, you expected to be long 1,000 shares of one thing and short 500 shares of the other. And because of the different prices, you end up with, you know, the exact long short mix you were looking for. But now if one of those trades doesn't fill completely, you know, let's say instead of shorting 500, you could only short 300, or instead of only long 1,000, you could only get 800 shares. Suddenly the trade is not actually what you thought it was going to be. So I think let's talk through that as a source of risk. You know, why do trades sometimes not fill? How does this work in practice, and what can traders do about it?
Look, when you're buying, you've got to buy from somebody, and when you're selling, you've got to sell to somebody. And so maybe the volume or the number of shares you want to buy or sell, there's not the matching volume on the other side. So that is a risk that you can't get the volume of the order that you're looking for, and so you might get a partial fill, things like that. But there is an easy way of remedying it if you are trading on the, you know, on the IG platform, is that you activate the direct market access function, the DMA function, or what we call level one or level two access. And then you can actually see what volume is available on the platform, you know, what in the market, in the underlying market, before you place your trade. So that's just one way of mitigating that risk.
Yeah, and I mean, there's not much you can do about it, right? If, as you say, if there isn't someone to sell to or buy from, you know, this market can't just be made out of thin air. That's more of an issue on the illiquid stocks, which I guess is part of why you don't offer every single stock on the platform, because liquidity can be an issue.
Exactly. That's 100% right. So it might be an attractive stock, but if no one's really trading it, then you can't. You might get in, but you struggle to get back out of that particular company.
Yeah, absolutely. So look, I think we've now dealt with a few things around risk, and there's really only one more that I want to cover before we have a very brief conversation on a couple of technical concepts, and that is position sizing, as well as any other risk management tools that you think might be worth discussing. So let's do that. Why is position sizing so important as a risk management tool? And do you think there's any others that we maybe should have spoken about on the show that we haven't touched on?
Like I said earlier on about the position sizing, you know, committing too much money to the trade where you're wrong can wipe out all the profits from, you know, the trades that you're right. So, and that is one of the things that we do see, you know, bad habits in trading is over trading and trading too big. So there's a very simple formula there, you know, where you can sort of help with that position sizing. You know, we look at stop loss, it manages the risk on your trade, but you need to decide what your total risk is. You know, how much money are you prepared to commit to any one, you know, trade? Is it 1% or 5% low risk relative to high risk? And that formula I do like to give, you know, when you're looking at shares, is just if you take that total risk and you put it into monetary value, and then you divide that by your risk per share or your stop loss distance, and then that'll give you a number of how many shares you should trade. So total risk divided by your stop loss distance will give you the number of shares you can trade. Very, very simple formula. And that should help you with your position sizing, managing your risk within the market. You asked about other, you know, other ways of managing risk. Well, we did talk about in the previous episodes, one of the previous episodes about pair trading, sort of hedging out risks or sort of market neutral type positioning. But another one that I think is often overlooked is that don't overtrade. Don't always have to be in the market. You know, sometimes sitting on your hands is actually a trade. You know, being patient and waiting for opportunity is a way of mitigating risk. It's okay to miss out rather than lose out sometimes. You know, there's always opportunities arriving in the markets, and just waiting for the best ones, I think, is quite prudent and is a form of risk management.
Yeah, fantastic. So let's do today's little technicals section because we have a few minutes left and there's some good stuff to talk through. And I think today we're going to look at trend lines. So that is trend lines, support lines, resistance lines, all very interesting things. And I think I'll just, you know, let you run through all of them actually in one shot, basically. And, you know, what's nice with these is I think support and resistance lines is something I've used with relative success in some of my investing, because it really is one of the easiest things, in my opinion, to see on a chart. You know, if you've ever looked at a share price and you've wondered, why did it move, I don't know, 6% and not 8%, then you zoom out a bit and you have a look that it stopped at a level that it's been at before, either up or down, and you see those support and resistance lines. It's amazing how visible they are on a chart. That for me was the sort of entry point into technical analysis and believing that actually there's a lot of value in this stuff, because support and resistance lines do work.
So yeah, I think we're starting off with trend lines. We have talked about moving averages. Moving averages are essentially an automated or a dynamic trend line, but trend line is just, you know, drawing a line along the lows of the price. You know, if they're going higher, it gives you an idea of market direction. We know they're in an uptrend. You know, draw it along the top, so the market's falling, linking lower highs, you can see the market's in a downtrend. And a lot of what we do is trying to align our trades, you know, in technical analysis with the general trend of a market. So trend lines, another way of just helping assess general market direction. You can use those for support and resistance, but I think what you're referring to and what is my preference as well, most important indicator to me is just a simple horizontal line on that chart. And that horizontal line marking major turning points in the market, sort of major lows. You know, we call it support when you draw it underneath because it looks like it's holding up the price. And imagine turning points, we put lines above the tops of that. It looks like a bit of a ceiling, so it's because it looks like it's stopping the price from moving higher. And so we can sort of get an idea of where buying has come into the market, where selling has come into market. You know, buying support is an area where buying has come back into the market. Resistance is an area where selling has entered the market. So that gives us an idea of, firstly, it gives us a price expectation. So resistance gives us upside targets if the price is going up. Support gives us a downside target if the price is going down. And, you know, if it's acted as support in the past, we can see that, well, that's maybe a buying opportunity on an area where we could look at accumulating that particular share or company or whatever asset class you're trading.
Yeah, and I think it's also an important risk management tool. It's not just about what the opportunity is in front of you, but if something has fallen, you know, from a resistance line all the way to a support line, and that's your moment where you decide, okay, I'll short this thing. You're not playing the chart at all. You know, you're literally going short at exactly the point where a bunch of people say, hang on, I'm going to buy this thing now. And as you said from the very beginning, the market is really just this great big voting machine. It doesn't actually matter whether something is fairly valued or not. It matters how people perceive it and what they are willing to do. And if enough people believe, hey, this is a support line, I'm going to buy here, you know, and that's the exact moment at which you go short, you're not managing your risk, and you're probably going to have a bad time on average.
One of our earlier mentors always used to say, market always moves to where the orders are. And, you know, the support levels often show us where those orders are. Just something I've always kept in mind. So I believe in support because the price, the balance between buying and selling pressure has changed. And so in future, we don't know what's going to happen in the future, but we're looking at probability of what's happened in the past. And so that to me is where orders are and a possible place where I can get involved in that market as well.
Yeah, fantastic. So Sean, I think this has been a really, really good discussion. As usual, we've touched on some technical stuff. We've touched on some other stuff. I would certainly encourage our listeners to go and, you know, check out the other shows in this series. This is now episode 7. There are 6 other great shows to go listen to, and there will be several more as well. As always, you're very welcome to let us know what you would like us to cover. You know, you can contact either one of us through the various social media channels, or, you know, use the contact form on the Ghostmail website, for example, or comment on the podcast. We'll see it wherever you try and put it. And we look forward to doing this again next time, Sean, and giving more insights. So thank you very much, and see you for episode 8. CFD losses can exceed your deposits. In our gorgeously diverse country, there really is a new reason to trade every day. Current affairs to political news can make the markets move and cause volatility, which can be advantageous to a trader. Diversify your portfolio by opening a trading account with IG and explore the possibilities of CFD trading, or practice your trading skills on an IG demo account.